Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
301-230-0980, the number right here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham, sitting in for Kevin. He is back with you tomorrow. Normally in sports radio, this is why our job is amazing. You kind of just let the people take you where you need to be taken. I had no plans on talking Terry McLaurin in great detail today, but here we are, and we got a couple of calls and a bunch of comments in the chat on it as well. What are we parsing over right now? Like, what is on deck right now with this Terry McLaurin conversation? I will lay out my thoughts once again very concretely. I think, as a fan base, and it's hard to generalize all of us together because some are smarter than others.
It's a bell curve. It always has been.
You know, it just is. I think, generally speaking, though, when I hear folks talk about Terry McLaurin, I feel like he's being overvalued just a tad. There was a lot of hubbub made last year. And really, even last week, I remember I told you all I had Trevor Sikkema on. He said, ranking Terry amongst his top 10 guys, he ultimately put him at number 10. But his range was anywhere from 9 to 19. So, and I'll pull up the PFF list one more time here. So that should show you, one, if he's in that 9 to 19 range, he's not in the elite upper echelon group of wide receivers. I think Trevor Sikkema had him ranked as a tier 3 wide receiver, if I'm not mistaken. So here we go. Tier 1. A.J. Brown, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase. I'm not taking any of those guys over Terry McLaurin. I'm just not. Tier 2, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Puka Nacua 5, CeeDee Lamb 6, Nico Collins 7, Tyreek Hill 8. Tier number 3, Mike Evans number 9, Terry McLaurin number 10, Drake London 11, Neighbors, Wilson, T. Higgins, Brian Thomas Jr. Let's be real about this, right? Going into next year, And I put out my top 10 wide receiver rankings, and I got to find the document that I did it on because I believe we did it right here on the show last week. I would have him right outside of the top 10 at about 11 or 12. I think I can clearly give you 10 guys that I would prefer over Terry McLaurin. And this has to do with age. This has to do with productivity and potential.
You want to name some dudes?
A.J. Brown. We can count them here.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
A.J. Brown, 1. Justin Jefferson.
2.
Ja'Marr Chase.
3.
CeeDee Lamb.
4.
Nico Collins.
Ooh, 5.
Puka Nacua.
6. I'll count it.
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek's old, man.
Man, Tyreek had one down
year. He's hanging out with Aiden Ross.
Tyreek Hill having a down year last year should not skew how he is viewed amongst the top 10 wide receivers in the
NFL. It's going to skew it for me, especially because he's on the wrong side of 30 now, and that does not last when you are a speed demon.
Well, he's a unicorn, though. His production last year...
Father Time gets everyone, except for LeBron James.
Except for LeBron James. him last year, though, talking about Tyreek and his statistical drop-off was a byproduct of Tua not being healthy. No one in this league could run with Tyreek Hill still. So I would still prefer him over Terry.
Six.
I'm at six.
Brian said Mike Evans, seven.
Mike Evans, yes. Puka Nacua, do we have him on
there? Yes, we do.
I would put Puka Nacua over Terry McLaurin at this point. Nico Collins, yes, we have over Terry at this point. Right?
Yeah. Amon-Ra.
See, I'm not an Amon-Ra guy.
Interesting. I'm kind of in the same boat.
I think Terry can do everything Amon-Ra can do. I don't think Amon-Ra can do everything Terry can do. I don't know if Amon-Ra can win consistently on the outside as a true X the way Terry McLaurin does. He is a slot god, is the best way that I could put him. Who else would I go with here?
I think we're at seven.
Are we talking about production? Or like, how are we ranking this? Can we act?
You said, guys, you take over Terry.
Can we just do this like pure athletic ability, pure speed, pure? It's not about quarterback situations, none of that. I'm talking about if I line up and I'm picking a 7-on-7 team, who I'm taking over Terry? I take Garrett Wilson.
Malik Nabers.
Malik Nabers, yes, I would take Malik. Like, if you're not going to admit that Malik Nabers is better than Terry McLaurin,
no,
right
it's
now,
absolutely true.
Like, that's just hard on you as a fan. You're asleep. Like, that's just tough. Like, I'm taking Malik Nabers. I think he's a better overall wide receiver than Terry. I think Garrett Wilson would probably be somebody that I have an argument for. He didn't have the production last year, but he'll have it this year. Devontae Adams is still better than Terry McLaurin. You watch him next year with Matthew Stafford. With
Matthew Stafford's old ass.
Opposite Puka Nacua. Maybe I'm stretching here. Brian Thomas Jr.
Sure, yeah, we can throw BTJ in there.
Like, he's
great.
A dog, man. Like, it's not a slight to Terry is what I want people to keep understanding here. It's not that it's a slight to Terry. We're arguing and debating the most loaded position group in all of the National Football League.
Easily.
301-230-0980. Max, we just had a bunch of calls flood in.
Oh, boy.
So we'll rack up those while I take a couple here. Let's go to Leon in D.C. to lead us off here. What's going on, Leon? We got the phone potted up, phone potted up, phone potted up. Is the phone potted up, phone potted up? Leon, what's going on, my man?
Hold on, can you hear me?
I got you, brother. What's going on?
Yeah, man, I heard you say something about Terry McLaurin. I can't talk long, but I don't think that us fans overrate him. He's the best wide receiver we've had. We've always looked at Art Monk as the best. But as you see in the stats, he's been the most consistent. The guy doesn't get hurt. He's going on, what, year five of 1,000 yards racking up? And last but not least, this is the best quarterback he's ever had.
Yes, for sure.
I mean, he's coming off 13 touchdowns last year. That's amazing. I don't know when we last had a wide receiver get over 10.
For
so
sure.
That's all I want to say, man. I got to get back to work. I
got
just
you,
to
brother.
Leave you with that.
Hey, I appreciate it. Enjoy
that's
the rest of your work day, man.
We rate him.
For sure. So I guess I need to walk back my comment. But really, I don't, though. I think we overrate Terry overall as a fan base. And when I say overrate him, some of you all put him in that elite tier. And we just went through the guys that I believe are in that tier. He's not A.J. Brown. He's not Justin Jefferson. He's not Ja'Marr Chase. He's not CeeDee Lamb. He's not Nico Collins. He's not Tyreek Hill. He's not Mike Evans. Like, that's... And it's not to slight Terry. It's just how I view him compared to some of the other elite wideouts in the NFL. He's a bona fide number one and one of the better number ones in the NFL. I say he's anywhere between... I think he's anywhere between the 10th best receiver in the NFL and, like, the 15th best receiver in the NFL. I don't think he's inside of the top 10, though. No. I can easily give you 10 guys 7 days out of the week, twice on Sundays, who I would take over Terry McLaurin. And then this, look at the chat. Look at the chat. Two bad games versus Quinion Mitchell. You guys are acting like... the excuses that we bake in for him are lethal at points. It's frustrating. Now, where he did turn up last year... He looked elite after the catch last year at times. He did. You look at the Detroit Lions game, the Philadelphia Eagles game, and the NFC Championship game. I don't know. Let's actually go back and look at some of the numbers, because I see you all are talking about who Terry was in hell against last year. And look, it was not easy for Terry McLaurin last year. He put up his numbers, but it wasn't easy. Now, 13 touchdowns during the regular season, second most in the NFL, like, that's hard to argue with. But, like, there were some games last year where Terry kind of went AWOL, is the best way that I could put it. And every time Terry goes AWOL, we have this problem of saying, oh, it's Cliff Kingsbury's fault. It's Cliff Kingsbury's fault. Okay. Not always the case. I continue to look. That second Philadelphia Eagles game, Terry got 6 targets, had 5 catches. If you take away the 32-yard touchdown that he had, it's 5 catches for 28 yards. That's not good, right? Now, New Orleans, he had 7 for 73. Terry should have went for 150 versus New Orleans, but Jaden couldn't hit him. The first game against Quinyon Mitchell, 2 targets, 1 reception, and a gotta-have-it game against your division rival. You let a rookie corner put you in hell. Like, it just is what it is. All of the advanced analytics on Terry McLaurin against Quinyon Mitchell showed that Quinyon was the better player that day. And that's no slight to Terry. Quinyon can play. The 2 matchups against Deontay Banks and the Giants, Terry comes up with 2 touchdowns because he beats them in a phone booth in the red zone. But outside of that, they scored 27 points as an offense against the Giants, and they kind of struggled to move the ball a little bit. And Terry wasn't much of a factor. He wasn't. So there were games last year where he kind of disappointed. The Tampa Bay game in week 1. Now, I get it. It's week 1. This passing offense was not what it was now. But that's just how I go. 301-230-0980 is the number. Your thoughts on Terry McLaurin. Is he a bona fide top 10 wide receiver to you? Is he a bona fide top 10 wide receiver to you? I think there's an argument to be made. I would put him anywhere from 10 to 15. I don't think he's concretely, though, in the top 10. 301-230-0980 is the number. Let's go out to Lap in D.C. wants to chime in. What's going on, Lap?
Hey, what's up, Linnell?
What's going on, brother?
Thanks for taking my call, man.
For sure.
Hey, great point you said about him not getting separation. I've been saying that for years, but people are like, oh, you hating on Terry. No. Even though I'm a fan of my team and a player, I'm a realist, too. Because you got to like the sport first before right. You even have a team. So I don't think he gets enough separation enough for me. Yards after catch, he's dangerous, but he's always getting tripped up or he's always falling down or it's just not separation. All the premier wide receivers get separation, and that's my definition of a wideout. You know what I'm saying? So if he works on that, he'll be even better because there's a lot of those games, like you said, he didn't do much, but he'll make a play and then he'll have 30 yards.
Can I say something else? Can I say something else, Lap, that's turned into a baked excuse for Terry McLaurin? I'm seeing it here in the chat. People are saying he got locked down by A.J. Terrell and they're shading the safety to his side. Are you guys out of your rabbit-ass mind? You don't think every wide receiver in the end, you don't think Justin Jefferson is getting bracketed every week? You don't think Ja'Marr Chase is getting bracketed every week? Give me a break. Don't use that as an excuse. Come on. Yeah. Every elite wide receiver deals with that. If you can't take the heat, get the hell out the kitchen.
Yeah. Two other things, Linnell.
Yeah.
So the other caller was saying about his, 1,000 yards. He has been consistent in that regard.
Who are the other wide receivers that he has to compete for targets with?
Well, nobody really.
Exactly.
But I'm just saying that without a consistent quarterback play, for him to get 1,000 yards, that's still pretty good.
But this is the thing. Anybody can go get 1,000 yards when you're the only wide receiver on your team. Terry hasn't had anybody to compete with targets for.
Yeah, but I still think he should have more 100-plus, 150-yard games.
I totally agree. And Lap, we got a bunch of other dudes, so we're gonna drop you and let you go here as we're creeping up on the break. But this is fascinating to me because I'm not trying to – I don't want this conversation to turn into some dunk contest on top of Terry McLaurin. I'm not trying to poo-poo Terry McLaurin at all. Like I continue to say, I put him anywhere from 10 to 15. But to call him an elite wide receiver, I save that elite word – for Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, in the names that, that are in that category. Let's go to Kenny in Charlotte, chiming in on the Odyssey app. What's going on, Kenny? How you doing, man?
What's up, Linnell?
What's going on, brother?
Man, you disappointed me a little bit, man, because you said you kind of talking out the side of your neck two different ways, man. You said you're not trying to poo-poo him,
but
that's the tone that you're giving off. That's the tone.
I hear that.
You understand that?
I mean,
that's why. Yeah. So my thing is, let's look at last year. Pull up some stats on, you know, some of the elite receivers' worst games, right? I mean, everybody has those kind of games. The point that I want to make ultimately is, what round was Terry drafted in?
The third, right? Third or fourth round?
Right. Right. He came on this team as supposedly just a special teams guy.
And look at what he's done
from the time he was drafted up until now with all of those different quarterbacks. You see the work ethic, you see the dog. And one of the things that I don't want the organization to make a mistake on is going back on their word as it pertains to the brotherhood.
For sure.
Is $2-4 million. You wanted to use him as the face of brotherhood when Dan Quinn and them first got here. And now when it's time to get paid, right, now you can threaten the brotherhood in the locker room by saying, you know what, we're going to let $2-4 million here or there separate the brothers.
So Kenny, let me intervene right real quick. I think we're having two different conversations here. I don't think any of us believe he's not going to get the deal done, right? I certainly don't feel that way. I think they would look foolish as hell as an organization for all the reasons you just listed. You can't go put all of your cute slogans and hashtags all over buildings and t-shirts talking about a commander tag, commander this, commander that, and then when one of your homegrown guys is time to get paid, you don't pay him. So I don't think that will be the issue. I'm curious of the timeline of this thing and what is currently holding the deal up. Because it's not like there's any other wideout contracts that are going to get done here.
Right. So, you know where I was sold on Terry and he impressed me was, I know he had a couple of games where, you know, he got locked down, so the stats say. But he sold me in Detroit. He sold me in the championship game.
Yes.
Like in big games.
Running away from
people. He finally had a chance.
Yeah.
He finally had a chance to be in big games and show who he was. And to me, he delivered. And you know what? He may not be those top-tier receivers, but he's our receiver. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
He's our Jamar Chase.
For sure.
He's our Justin Jefferson. You know what I'm saying? So it's a little bit of emotional for me, because
I'm glad you're admitting
it. That's part of being a fan.
Thank you.
You know, but if we want to dot T's and cross I's, yeah, you got a point. But to me, he's our Jamar Chase. I think he should get paid.
For sure. Appreciate you as always, man. 301-230-0980. More of your calls on, is Terry McLaurin an elite wide receiver, coming up next. Plus, we will get into Ben Solak. We're 93 days out from the start of the NFL season, and he dropped 100 thoughts on ESPN.com. There are some commander-related thoughts in there as well. We'll share those with you on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Team 980.
So to Jackson's note saying, we haven't had an all-pro player in 36 years. We have not had an all-pro first-team defensive player since 1992. Wilbur Marshall was the last first-team all defensive player. Look, we went through that stretch where Matt Turk in 96 was the only first team all pro the franchise had had until Brandon Scherff was named first team all pro in 2020. I mean, that 24-year stretch of not having a first team all pro. Remember last year, Wagner and Luvu were second team all pros. But yeah, so 92 would be 33 years, so you were close. It wasn't 36. Darryl Green was an all-pro in 91, but Wilbur Marshall was an all-pro, excuse me, first-teamer in 91. But Wilbur Marshall was the last first-team all-defensive player wearing a Washington uniform, and that came in 1992. All right. Well, thank you for sending me down that rabbit hole looking for that information. I do want to mention real quickly before we get to what Joe Witt Jr. said in the last hour about the player that's been most impressive to him. Right. Terry was a second-team All-Pro last year. So was Eckler as a kick returner, correct? Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. But you're going to hear in a moment what Joe Witt Jr. said about a specific player defensively. Before that, I do want to mention that Window Nation has a phenomenal deal going on right now. Beat the heat with Window Nation's semi-annual sale. What is that? 4 free windows with every 4 purchased, plus a free entry door when you purchase a house full of windows. With no money down, no payments, and no interest charge for 2 full years. That's a whole lot of savings. It's a super smart investment with prices going up. You're essentially not paying anything until the year 2027. And when you begin paying, you're paying half price because you got half of the windows that you purchased for free. Their windows also come with a lifetime warranty, so you'll be saving long into the future, not to mention air conditioning and heating costs. With new insulated windows, they'll go down as well. This sale ends soon. Don't wait to call Window Nation to get your free, no obligation estimate. Call them at 866-90-NATION or head to windownation.com for 4 free windows with every 4 purchased. No money down, no payments, no interest. You're not paying anything for 2 full years. All right, Joe Witt Jr. before OTA day number 4, in which, by the way, the 3 absentees from last week in terms of participation, Terry, Tunsil, and Lattimore, once again, all 3 not a part of the OTA day today. But this was Joe Witt Jr., the team's defensive coordinator, before practice, talking about a player that's been impressive so far.
The guy that, to me, he just looks really good. He looks intentful. De'Ron Payne, man, like every day this dude is – I'm having to tell him, hey, man, let's calm down. Like I got in trouble with the head coach yesterday because I challenged the D-line and he went after it. And I said, Q, that was my fault. I told him to do it. He did exactly what I told him to do. And so I've been really pleased. The walkthroughs, everything that we've asked him to do. And he's a leader. He doesn't talk much at all right? But he is leading by example. And this year, you can really see him taking that leadership role and taking it to the next step. So I would say he's been the guy that's just really stood out to me the most from that standpoint.
This is a big year for De'Ron Payne. Really big year for De'Ron Payne. And he, I think, sees the writing on the wall. He just witnessed it, seeing John Allen get dealt. He is still, let's not forget, De'Ron Payne just turned 28 years old. Theoretically, he is in his prime for the next 2 to 3 seasons in the NFL. And we haven't seen a season from De'Ron Payne on, let's face it, 2 bad defensive teams, in part because of what they were up front. He's been a part of it. Since 2022, when he was in a contract year. He's not in a contract year, but he is in a prove it or get ready to get moved season. And they need it. They need De'Ron Payne. I think Ben wrote this, and I was just looking for it during the break, but he said something like, you know, in terms of some of the awards heading into next year, he called it the Let It Rip award, and that goes to De'Ron Payne. This is a Let It Rip season. He is a player that has demanded more double teams than anybody defensively during his time, more so than John did during that time. He is big. He is freakish athletically. And we know the issue. We have known the issue. The issue has been De'Ron isn't always full motored. And when he is, he can be a dominant force. It was just, you know, 2 years ago, heading into 2023, where De'Ron Payne was on lists as high as 4 or 5 in the league at defensive tackle. on all lists when you went to, you know, top 10. They really need Duran to step it up. This is a big year. You know, they've added bulk. They've added a guy like Kinlaw. They'll probably end up with Johnny Newton on the team, even though, you know, I'd be looking to still add an all-pro first-team kind of a talent in Trey Hendrickson. You know, think about Daron Payne 2022 style in 2025. What was his sack total? Was it 12? 12 and a half in 2022?
Looking right now.
11 and a half. 11 and a half sacks in 2022. An absolute force on a team that was led, remember, in 2022 by its defense. Mm-hmm. That's why they actually were in contention for a postseason berth late into the season. Teron had a great year that year. He really did. And he got paid. He's got to live up to the contract. I'm glad to hear that. It's only June. Take it for what it's worth. But he certainly has the talent, and he's just 28 years old. So go get him, Duran. Don't ask me why. You guys know it if you've listened. I have always been mesmerized with his freakish athleticism for somebody that size. When he's been at his best, he is difficult to deal with, but he just hasn't been at his best frequently enough. All right, I did want to kind of talk NBA Finals. We have the matchup, Game 1 tomorrow night. In OKC, they are 9.5-point favorites in that game. The Thunder are basically somewhere between minus 700 and minus 900, take the average, minus 800 to win the NBA Finals over Indiana. That puts them up there, man, among the all-time favorites in NBA history. The Lakers are the largest favorite. Actually, you know, since I think 1980, maybe, the Lakers of 2001, because I think the 75, we're talking the 50-year anniversary of the 75 Golden State Warriors who swept our Washington Bullets, who were a massive favorite. That is one of the biggest odds upsets in NBA history. Golden State over Washington in 1975, 50 years ago. Look it up. I mean, Washington was supposed to smoke Golden State. Instead, they got swept. But the 2001 Lakers were minus 2,000 over Philadelphia. The 2018 Warriors were minus 1,075 over Cleveland. And then you've got a Bulls team, a Spurs team, basically, a Lakers team, and then the Thunder team, which are all pretty close in terms of where they are as a favorite. I mean, as well as Indiana's played, and they've played very well, and they've been impressive, and Rick Carlisle is great. They are a massive underdog. And by the way, I buy it. I've said this since early in the second round. I thought Oklahoma City was going to win this whole thing, and it went way against my normal thought process, which is you don't win it when you're that inexperienced in the NBA. You've got to earn your way to an NBA title. You know, you typically win a playoff series, and then the next year you win two, and then the next year you win three, and then finally you've, you know, gotten to that level. This Oklahoma City team is one of the greatest defensive teams I've ever watched in the postseason. They guard 1 through 5 as well as physical, as relentlessly motored, as smart as any team. I had John Wall on my podcast. I played some of that for you guys last, before I went away. He was talking about just their ability to guard 1 through 5. They can switch at any position. And look, Indiana's got a much better shot at winning a game or two against Oklahoma City than the Knicks would have had. But I like the Thunder. The Thunder in 5-6 max. I do, and I am impressed with Indiana, and I'm impressed with how well coached they are. And I'm a big Siakam fan. You know, Halliburton's a good player, don't get me wrong. I'm a huge Siakam fan. Now, As it relates to, and we'll pick the series in more sort of definitive fashion tomorrow on the show before game one tomorrow night. And I do know that the NHL Stanley Cup Finals open up tonight in Edmonton with the Panthers and the Oilers in a rematch of last year's, you know, epic seven-game series. I don't have a pick on that. Do you, Max? Max likes hockey.
It's really tough. My heart goes with McDavid. My gut and wallet would probably go with the Florida Panthers because they're built for it, man. But the only team that has the speed or like Connor McDavid's unmatched. Leon Draisaitl's really good. It's going to be a great series. I want McDavid to win, but like I said, I think the Florida Panthers are just built for it.
So, thank you for that, by the way.
Of course.
Tibbs got fired yesterday.
He sure did.
After an incredible season for the Knicks. Now, I wasn't on last week. We talked about that earlier. But when the conversation came up and I was watching these games, I was like, you know, I think it might happen because he was completely outcoached in this series. Now, in the Indiana series, some of it is not his fault. Okay. This team had no depth. This team had. Was not a defensive Tibbs team. He's a great defensive coach. He's been a great defensive coach throughout his NBA career as a head coach. Not as good as an offensive coach. They just didn't have those players. Like if they had Hartenstein, if they had Randall, you know, in what they were last year. But God, it was a beatdown in so many ways at the head coaching spot. I never thought the Knicks were going to win this series, you know, after the first couple of games. And look, when they won that first game in game three, that was an incredible game by Karl-Anthony Towns. He had 20 in the fourth quarter of that game. But I'm going to talk about something here for a moment that I talked about a little bit before I was off there for the last week plus. And that is Jalen Brunson is just overrated. I found, and I talked about this during the early portion of the playoffs, I found the Knicks to be painful to watch play basketball. In the same way I talked about Dallas last year, and they got to the finals. In the same way that I talk about guys like James Harden, it is just for anybody that has spent any time, you know, participating in basketball, especially if you're of a certain age, the number of possessions that are pure ISO where Brunson, first of all, is laboring to get the ball up court and cross half court on time against Indiana's pressure. I don't know how many times he turned it over just as he crossed half court because he's not looking to pass. You got to beat that kind of pressure with passing. You can't even let him bring the Tibbs went to using Mikal Bridges to bring the ball up and take some of that pressure off. And then the number of possessions where Brunson never gave it up and was the only person to touch the ball on a possession. I laughed each night watching him just going, this is never, ever going to work four times out of seven against a team like Indiana. And if they were to pull off an upset, that would be the easiest four-game sweep ever. They would have mauled Jalen Brunson. Oklahoma City would have. Look, I'm not denying his incredible skill. He is a skilled scorer. He is a crafty, you know, offensive scorer and shooter, and he's got the ability, especially in a regular season atmosphere, to kill you. They're never where they ended up being without Jalen Brunson, don't get me wrong. But with him as your best player playing the style of basketball that the Knicks played with Tibbs as the head coach, no chance they could win four series, four out of seven. No chance. It was painful to watch him at times. The turnovers, the inexcusable turnovers that they had because of what they asked him to do. Look, it's not all on him. If you're going to ask him to bring up the ball against, you know, Nesmith or Nembhard or double teams, and the dude is laboring to beat the 8 second count, and then he crosses half court and he's like teetering on dribbling it back court, and then they finally get into their offense at 10 seconds on the shot clock, but the offense is just him. You know, maybe he gets a ball screen. You can't win. I'm sorry. I know that is a big part of the NBA. We have yet to see a pure or a primarily ISO team win 4 out of 7 four times. And it's not going to happen this year because that's not what Indiana or OKC are. Neither one of those two teams is a primary ISO or two-man team. They're just not. For you Knick fans out there, you Jalen Brunson fans out there, I totally appreciate his skill level. I appreciate James Harden's skill level and Luka's skill level and their scoring ability. It is special to watch. I'm just saying that if you're going to play the way the Knicks played and he's that guy, you can't win 4 out of 7 four straight series. No chance. Not to mention, he is the target for the other team because of what he is defensively, which is a liability, which is what Luke is, and we've seen that with some of these pure ISO players. They then get targeted on the other end. And Indiana, because they're smart and well-coached, targeted him. Their best moments in this series were with him off the floor because more people touched the ball and they were better defensively. I'm impressed with Indiana. I really am. I'll have my official pick on tomorrow's show. But Oklahoma City, man, their defense is just hellacious. And they have so many options offensively as well. And by the way, they're well coached. All right. More on that tomorrow. We'll finish up when we come back with James Cook might be available, and somebody thinks it makes sense to trade for him if you're Washington. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
So Jordan Schultz of the Schultz Report had news. Sources, Commanders All-Pro wide receiver Terry McLaurin has made it clear to the team that he's frustrated with the lack of progress on a long-term deal. He writes, as I previously reported, McLaurin unexpectedly left voluntary workouts after initially attending, and it remains to be seen whether he'll report for mandatory minicamp. Joining us now is our Washington insider, our good friend Ben Standig from The Athletic. So I'll just ask you, what do you make of this report?
I don't make too much of it. I'm not going to change my stance in that this is ultimately going to, get resolved. And, this is how negotiations work to some degree, when you especially have a high profile player. A few weeks ago, as Schultz said that he put something out, he posted that, McLaurin missed or wasn't there for OTAs. Obviously that was true, but there's been no other real follow up. It's just coming from this one guy. So I'm not saying he's not being told this. I just don't think it means much more than it's just negotiations. I'm not gonna. My stance has been, wake me up when we get close to training camp if something still isn't done. If he were to miss mandatory minicamp in a couple of weeks, all right, that's a little something. But again, the players only have so much leverage, in any discussion. And, putting something out there publicly to potentially help, bolster fan support and that type of deal is something that they can do. So for me, to me, this is just kind of what that is for now. I don't really see too much. I don't see too much reason to be concerned. The one thing I've said, and I think we talked about this when I was on earlier the week, that, the age might be the only thing, not that Terry's an old guy, but of the top 15 or so wide receivers in terms of annual average salary, only Tyreek Hill is older than him.
Right.
So unless Washington is really hammering home that point in terms of a multi-year deal and, I don't know what you would point to suggest he's falling off anytime soon. But that would be the only thing. And even that, I just don't see it being a huge deal. So I'm not going to freak out about this. I can imagine some are or fans are, but I'm not going to at this stage.
Yeah, that's what I pointed out is just that, from the team side, if there's any truth to that, he's frustrated, it may be about, look, we want you. We want to give you a big contract extension, but you're not a top five average annual guy at this point, entering your early 30s. Real quickly, though, did Terry, when these OTA days, first of all, in 2022, just so everybody remembers, he missed OTA days and he missed mandatory minicamp. In fact, he was fined the mandatory minicamp, whatever that number was, because he didn't get his deal signed until June 28th, and that was after mandatory minicamp. But I look, you know that I was sort of non-compass last week and out of it last week, but wasn't he present at OTA days, but just not a participant?
No, he wasn't in Ashburn last week, but he had been with the team earlier in the broader context of the off-season program, being in the building, listening, being around the team. But once it became just the formal part is when he went away. So, I guess the thing, he's been with the team at points this offseason already, of the three main guys who've been away, Lattimore is the one who hasn't been around at all. The other two have been around to some degree at various points. So, I don't put, it is what it is. If he wants to, use this leverage as just that, then so be it. These are voluntary, when it happened, I remember in 2022, one thing that was unique about that was Carson Wentz was just arriving, so there was no chemistry, established. And whereas this one, obviously, Terry and Jaden Daniels are coming off a monster season. He's been in now Cliff Kingsbury's offense, et cetera. So, it's not that dire from that perspective either. And, Terry has always been, on top of his game in terms of being in shape, being prepared, and I would imagine nothing will change on that front.
Correct me if I'm wrong. This is actually going to be the first contract extension with, you know, a good existing player that Adam Peters and company have produced, correct? We didn't have one last year.
No, Sam Cosmi, that was under this regime, right? That was last year.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, corrected. I mean, much younger player, obviously, and a different situation. I think, you know, whatever the report is and how much accuracy there is, I'm not going to delve into. I kind of feel the way you do. And I also agree with you, like, you know, I'll be concerned, you know, or it'll be an issue if we're, you know, a day before training camp and no deal's been done, which we're 2 months away from, or a little bit less than 2 months away from. But I do think now, like, part of me in kind of looking at this, because before you jumped on with me, I was looking at, you know, the salaries, and I'm like, you know, this is one of those challenging contract extensions, you know, and I even suggested that it's not unusual for older players seeking a contract extension that kind of seems deserved. I mean, Cincinnati's going through it right now with Trey Hendrickson. Now, he is wildly underpaid based on his production. But, you know, the older a player gets, the more complicated this becomes. And it seems like there is often kind of this, you know, level of reporting or, you know, truthful in sort of tone to the relationship where there's some frustration. It's going to be interesting to see how the team handles it. Because this is a guy who's wildly popular, is one of the best people you'd ever want on your roster, in your locker room, in your building, but he's 30 years old. And we are, you know, probably 2 years, 3 years max away from him, more likely than not, based on the position, him being and approaching the downside of his career. And you also, Ben, with Terry, he's an interesting conversation every offseason, but much more so this offseason after finally having an NFL quarterback, starting quarterback, to throw to him about where he gets slotted. You know, and during the break, I just pulled this up. PFF last week basically ranked the top 32 receivers ahead of the 2025 NFL season into tiers. And their tier one, which I would have had as two receivers, they had as three. A.J. Brown, Justin Jefferson, and Ja'Marr Chase. For me, Jefferson and Chase are in their own stratosphere, and then we can talk about what comes next. But they had Brown, Jefferson, and Chase in tier one. Tier two, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Puka Nacua, CeeDee Lamb, Nico Collins, Tariq Hill. And then when we got to tier three, Mike Evans and then Terry McLaurin, along with Drake London, Malik Nabers, Garrett Wilson, T. Higgins, Brian Thomas Jr., Devontae Adams, all in tier three. Now, they had Terry ranked as the second tier three guy, which would put him at number 10 overall. But that's kind of part of, you know, the agent and the negotiating group for Washington. He's got an age thing, and then there's this perception thing with Terry. It comes up with other players as well. But don't you feel like Terry's been one of these guys that people have viewed as very underrated, and now you got to be careful not to overrate him after he played with a starting quarterback for the first time?
Yeah, look, obviously his first, you know, several years in the league, the quarterback situation was, you know, almost comical if it wasn't sad for all of us who were watching it unfold. Now he gets, you know, what looks to be a dynamic star quarterback in this league, and he has a career high 13 touchdown receptions and so much, you know, went right last year for him. He was a third round pick when he came in, so he didn't arrive with crazy hype. In fact, as we all remember, there was a lot of this talk about he's going to play special teams. How he may shine originally. You know, he doesn't have, you know, he's very fast based on normal humans. Based on the NFL, he doesn't, you know, doesn't even raise an eyebrow with his speed. He's got fine size, but he's not this hulking presence on the perimeter like an A.J. Brown or a Calvin Johnson. So, like, it's hard to distinguish, like, in your mind's eye, like, what is, you know, what's a Terry McLaurin play. He's great with the contested catches, and we all have noticed that for sure, and made highlights. But I, and also he's like, you know, he's essentially not a diva type. I know maybe that's
right.
This isn't the day to say that if you're going to be holding out. But you know, in general, this is a good negotiation, and he's not been that guy at all. He's, you know, all about helping the community in ways that are real. I went to one of his charity events a couple weeks ago, and it was just another example of how he gives his, you know, not just his money or his name, but his time and thought to helping, you know, different parts of the area community. He obviously, from a locker room perspective, is, you know, we've heard other guys around here over the years who have been perceived as leaders who are not necessarily viewed that way to the max in the locker room. Terry is. And, you know, again, when they're talking, when Adam Peters and Dan Quinn are talking about, you know, they know what it means to be a commander, I don't know how this guy isn't on the poster. So, you know, it's, you know, I get why he doesn't make, you know, what people say, who are the best receivers, and his name, I mean, 10 is pretty high, but, it, you know, it doesn't come up as easily as some of the others. But, you know, after what he did last year in particular, he showed, hey, give me a good quarterback and you know, watch me go.
Yeah. It's for, you know, NFL teams are different than a lot of businesses, you know, but typically in most businesses, you don't go in and pitch, you know, on what you've accomplished looking for increased compensation. You pitch based on what you're going to do moving forward. And that's, you know, there's a dynamic that exists in an NFL situation where you got to be careful, because if you don't take care of those players that have been really good in so many different ways, you can start to develop a reputation of not taking care of the players that should have been taken care of. But they've got a job to do here. You know, they've got a cap to manage, and he is going to turn 30 when the season begins. But to your point, like, there was no sign at all at any point of Terry McLaurin looking like, you know, he's towards the back end of his prime years. You know, even though by age, he's probably approaching more of the back end of his prime years. And a 3-year or a 4-year contract extension paying him, what looks like very expensive today is tomorrow's bargain. You know, if he ends up getting close to what he wants, let's just call it $30 million, and he's in the top 6 or 7, you know, that'll be, by the time we get to next year, you know, barely top 10. And in 2 years, back to top 15-ish. I don't know. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get done. Let's conclude with that. You as well or not?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, when I saw the tweet, you know, before you guys reached out about coming on, I saw the tweet and I was like, okay, so I guess this is a topic for today. And you know, it changes the tenor of the conversation a little bit, because this update is more aggressive than just simply he isn't there. But yeah, I mean, look, we've already seen it on this particular player in the same circumstance, more or less. We've already seen a deal get negotiated and executed, you know, and he showed up and, you know, all was well. And we see this happen all the time around the league. You know, Dallas had the situation with CeeDee Lamb, and then eventually got that done. And, you know, CeeDee Lamb's a guy who's like, you know, he's just, you know, several years younger than Terry. He's like, what, I think like third right now in terms of annual average salary, you know, from a overall, like, team perspective and community and locker room. You know, you can make a case that Terry McLaurin is as valuable as CeeDee Lamb, but CeeDee Lamb's younger. CeeDee Lamb is more physically imposing, and you know, that's what it is. Eventually, you know, even if that's like a point of, hey, what about, why are we getting paid the same as this guy? You know, I imagine eventually things get done. And again, I'm not here to take away somebody else's money or worth, but you know, I've been projecting in my head just like a $30 million annual average salary.
Right.
You know, T. Higgins is a little bit less than that. DK Metcalf is younger, is a little bit more than that. You know, it's very good money. I don't imagine it's like going to, you know, even Washington was stubborn. I don't imagine Terry's like going, well, this is unfair, this is unlivable, or anything along those lines. So, like I said, I'm with you. I'm nonplussed about any of this until we get, you know, outside of the mandatory minicamps, and we get, like you said, a couple days before training camp. Then, okay, you can you can get me more intrigued. But right now, yeah, I think it'll eventually get done.
All right, let me go back to something we talked about yesterday, but this was before we had an OTA day yesterday. You didn't really have an answer as to how they felt. We did hear from Joe Witt Jr. On whether or not, you know, they are plussed or nonplussed about the absence and continued absence of Marshon Lattimore. Here's what Joe Witt Jr. said yesterday about Lattimore's fourth miss on an OTA day.
Okay, Marshon hasn't been here. We've been in communication with him. So when he gets here, we'll see exactly where he is from a conditioning standpoint. From a mental standpoint, you know, the coaches have been meeting with him, talking with him. And so he's a smart young man, but we'll see exactly where he is when he gets here.
So another day in the books since we talked yesterday. What do you think they're thinking? Do you have any idea? Because I guessed yesterday, I bet they're not totally pleased with this.
Yeah, so that was my question to Joe Witt, and the
okay,
way
that
was
yours.
Framed it was yeah,
you
it was
ask
the way
great
I framed
questions
it was,
you really do. Seems like every time I pull a soundbite, I swear to God, that is interesting to me, you ended up asking the question. But go ahead.
Well, I mean, we knew he was not there the week prior, but you know, didn't definitively know that if he had not been in the building at all. So I kind of purposely asked, what have you seen? Because the previous question I was asked, what have you seen? What player stood out to you watching? And he mentions Jerron Payne. So I was like, so, okay, to that end, what is, you know, if you've seen him, what has stood out about Lattimore? And then he says, well, he hasn't been here. And, this is all part of the deal. He's a voluntary practices, all that. But I don't know. I took a little bit from Joe Witt response to say, hey, you know, I guess we'll just see what he's like when he gets here, as, yeah, you know, maybe he should be here, right? Because it's not just that he's a veteran player who's, you know, had a lot of success in the league and is just choosing to be away. Here's a guy who, you know, got traded here last year, who missed a chunk of time because of a hamstring injuries that aren't just a one-off. This has been lingering for several years. And then, you know, the performances were at best uneven. And then two of the three playoff games weren't good really at all. So you would think that this would be like, hey, if I'm really motivated and focused on helping this team out, I'm showing up. Again, it's voluntary. He doesn't have to do that. He may be very well in the best shape of his career and has no issues. But the team doesn't know that. Even like Witt saying, like, you know, people, you know, we've had people, you know, in constant communication with him, suggest that he's not one of those people, and defensive coordinators got to delegate. But, you know, I would think, like, hey, wouldn't you want to be reaching out to this guy unless, yeah, maybe like, let him sort it out. I don't want to get into it. So, meaning if I'm the DC. So I don't want to, put too much of my thoughts onto what he's actually thinking. But, yeah, I kind of took it as a little bit like, yeah, well, he's not here. I guess we'll see what happens when he gets here, as kind of like, yeah, this is not ideal.
Yeah, I didn't really have a reaction to what he said. I played it because I was curious as to what you thought. I was looking for maybe at least a hint of some sort of an expression of being irritated, annoyed. But, you know, I guess that's in the eye of the beholder. Beholder. You know, we do this every year, and I've talked about it now for a second consecutive day. Honestly, the only thing when these things come up for me is it is a peek inside the self-awareness window, the decision-making window. And this isn't a good look for Lattimore. It doesn't mean anything is in terms of whether or not he'll play great next year. There's no evidence that says that ties OTA attendance or off-season attendance to wins and losses. But when you are new in a place where you have not established what you established before, he's got a history of not showing for these OTAs in New Orleans. But in many cases, that was coming off a Pro Bowl kind of a season. He not only didn't establish himself here last year, it was the opposite of that. It was very disappointing after the trade. And now there are reasons for it. We understand that. Injuries. But when he was available, he wasn't very good. hit and miss, best case, you know, description. In a with a new team in an environment that has this vibe of all hands on deck, everybody's in, everybody loves the culture, I don't know. I think it's a really small commitment to make to show up to one or two of these things if you're in his position. You know, that's assuming there's no personal issue here, you know, that he's dealing with, but we haven't had any indication of that. So I think that being irritated with it, if you're a fan or even if you are in on that team, is justifiable, and clearly he doesn't care.
Yeah, I mean, I've used this line before, but like, you know, last year as we all watched, it was basically a Disney movie for this team. Just, you know, the unbelievable highs, and none of us were all sitting here going, is this really happening? What's going on? This is crazy. And, you know, with Jaden and you know, it just kind of kept going on and on and on and all the way to the NFC Championship game. The one character, though, that was like reading from a different script, at least tonally, seemed to be Lattimore. He arrived midseason. He wasn't there for the whole, you know, bonding training camp and that stretch. He hadn't been there when this team was, you know, having these, you know, big wins and getting on these rolls. He wasn't there when they were spent a week together in Arizona. So he's coming in with his own baggage. And like you said, this is, you know, holding out was kind of his MO, or not holding out, but missing some of the voluntary practices was kind of his MO in New Orleans. You know, from my sense was that, you know, people who are around the team in New Orleans, like, that there wasn't any real love lost seeing Marshon Lattimore leave. Obviously, the Saints are in a bit of a different situation. You know, they're more of a struggling team now than they are a contender. So it made sense for them to move on. But, you know, there's been some questions about his, you know, how he connects with, you know, team management, what have you. And yeah, I mean, it, like you said, I think there is a lack of self-awareness. It feels like, and I don't want to get in somebody's head and all that, but like, it does feel like it's Dan Quinn's greatest gift last year was having all these guys rally together, you know, these sort of like, you know, misfits trying to figure it out. How do we pull together? Cause that's the only way we're going to win. And he did it to a great degree. And Lattimore continues to feel like he's focused on his story and not the broader one, which, you know, look, I mean, to each his own, but at the same time, when you're coming off the injuries, when you're coming off those couple of poor performances and you weren't with this team during some of these highs, then yeah, I mean, I think it's a little concerning. And I just to the broader question, for all the talk about the culture and how things have changed, and look, there's million reasons to believe that it has, but to me, a huge part of this season is going to be now what happens with that culture when new pieces are coming in. You know, the Houston, you know, Tunsil isn't here yet. We'll see how that goes. And that's, you know, again, fine, he's not here. But part of the reason why seemingly Houston moved on from him was that, you know, the reports out of Houston have been that the chemistry in the offensive line room wasn't good, and they decided to make a change, and they changed out the guy who's the number one lineman.
Exactly.
All right, well, what does that mean? What does that mean going forward? Maybe nothing, but, you know, he's not considered to be like a leader type. So how does that fit into this ecosystem? You know, perhaps the same thing with like a Deebo Samuel, but he's showed up so far. He's done all the things that you would expect. He's a guy that is coming off a down season heading into a contract year. He clearly seems to understand what all that means, and he's, you know, looks like he's doing all the stuff. So each player has their own unique vision and path, and Lattimore's right now does feel a bit odd considering what transpired last year.
Look, I think the league needs to do something about this. Tommy wrote about it the other day. You know, make them mandatory or don't do them. You know, and because you basically put the player into a position to look bad, and even the team to look a bit foolish at times. But with that said, I think most of you people out there listening, not all of you people, but most of you people, if you were new to a company and there was a voluntary activity to kind of kick off the season or the, you know, the a work event, and 87 out of the 90 employees were attending, and you were brand new, and you just decided to skip it, I just don't think it's a good look. And I put that on Tunsil, too. You know, there's just a lack of, you know, in when you're new to anything, and everybody else, including everybody that's been there, is showing up for something that's voluntary, I can't imagine not showing up. But that's just me. Thank you for jumping on with short notice. I will talk to you later.
Always, man. See ya.
Ben Standig, everybody. Something else Joe Witt Jr. said yesterday about the defensive pass rush and the defensive run stopping in 2025, I thought was interesting. I'll play it for you next.
All right, Ravens have signed receiver Rashad Bateman to a contract extension. It is a three-year deal with it that includes $20 million in guaranteed, worth up to $36.75 million. GM Eric DaCosta also said that they are in introductory stages of an extension for 2023 MVP Lamar Jackson. The Pittsburgh Penguins have hired Rangers assistant coach Dan Muse as their next head coach. This hire follows rumors that Caps assistant coach Mitch Love was a top candidate for the job. The Oilers, they close out the Panthers in an overtime thriller last night. They win 4-3. Leon Draisaitl skates it off with the overtime winner on the feed from Connor McDavid. The Nats, they shut out the Cubs by a score of 2-0. Mackenzie Gore, with 7 innings pitched, struck out 7 batters, only gave up 3 hits and no earned runs. They'll continue their series tonight. Jake Irvin takes the bump. Nats on deck with Charlie and David, 6:15 on 106.7 The Fan. First pitch at 6:45. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980 and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what is trending.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Final seconds, no fouls to give. Halliburton looking. Halliburton driving. Pulls off, jump shot. Halliburton does it again.
I mean, last night was one of the strangest games I can remember watching, and at the same time, it was thrilling. Thrilling. You're missing out if you're not watching the NBA playoffs. And game one of the NBA Finals was memorable. It was not memorable if you had Oklahoma City laying 9.5, like I did last night. Good morning, everybody. We will get to game one last night in Oklahoma City in an incredible game in which the Thunder led for exactly 0.3. 0.3 of a second for the entire game, but the 0.3 of a second that mattered the most. But before we get to last night's game in detail, man, some of you are worked up over this Terry McLaurin situation. You know, we had the report yesterday from Jordan Schultz that Terry is frustrated with the lack of a contract extension at this point. I guess there were others that kind of reported it as well. Some of you have told me that. I don't have all of the other outlets that have reported some level of, you know, consternation over this from Terry's side. You know, I'll just tell you what Ben said yesterday, and I totally agree with him. Tommy said it as well on my podcast. This is an agent, more likely than not, just trying to give Terry, you know, a little bit of leverage, get the fans all worked up, and it's working. This from Gary 01. This is Gary 01 writing, Kevin, if they let Terry leave, this will be the worst look the franchise has had under Josh Harris. Hey, Gary. Terry can't leave. He's under contract. Just so I saw a lot of those come in, like if they let him leave, he can't go anywhere. He could hold out, sure. Doesn't really seem like a Terry move, but he could do that. But he's under contract for the upcoming season. He's not leaving to go anywhere. This from Rob. Sheehan, if they don't extend Terry, watch all of the fan goodwill evaporate in seconds. Really? 14-5? An NFC championship game appearance for the first time in 33 seasons? The most successful season in 3+ decades? And all of the fan goodwill will evaporate if they don't get Terry extended? Really? Wouldn't with me. And then this from Steven, a slightly different take. Steven writes, Scary Terry is a really good receiver, but not worth $30 million a year heading into his 30s. Honestly, the only regret they should have if they don't get him signed to a contract extension is that they should have been aggressive in free agency and gone out and got Devontae Adams. Thank you. And so many more of you that are really worked up over the Terry situation. Look, it's June 5th, June 6th. I get it. Okay, what else are we going to be worked up over? They didn't just play a game and blow a 15-point lead in the fourth quarter like Oklahoma City did last night. But I'll just say what I said yesterday. This will happen. And we don't need to get all worked up on June 5th, June 6th. Okay, we are still, you know, 7 weeks away from the beginning of training camp. He missed mandatory minicamp in 2022. He did not show up. He got fined. And then they got the deal worked out on June 28th. We're still 22 days before the last time he was extended. And by the way, the last time he was extended, there was a lot of true urgency to get it done because he was basically the best thing we had. You know, so I can't imagine that Terry McLaurin is not going to be on the roster opening day under a new contract. But there is a chance he could be on the opening day roster with 1 year left on his deal. That's possible if they don't work anything out. Terry's not going to hold out. He does have a lot of leverage. Sure, you know why he's got a lot of leverage? Because they drafted Jaden Daniels last year. You may have heard of him. And they won 14 games. And they're going to try to win the Super Bowl this year. This is not a team coming off 8-9 or 9-8 just hoping for a winning season and some improvement and some gains. No, they're all in. And they think they have a chance. And by the way, they do. And Terry is integral to that effort to try to win the Super Bowl next year. So he does have some leverage. You know, he's not dealing with a team that, you know, isn't a contender. We're talking about our team being a contender now, a legitimate contender to win the whole thing. But they need him. They do. They need five much more than they need 17, but they need 17. They absolutely do. I think it's an interesting conversation, and we talked about this yesterday, because in most cases, when you've got a guy like Terry, who is clearly a very good receiver, he's not in the Jefferson Chase class. He just isn't. I know some of you want to put him there. Some of you, you know, want to make sure that he's, you know, that he is described as like an elite wide receiver. He's not. He's excellent, though. He's, I wouldn't have him in tier three as Pro Football Focus did. I'd have him in a large group of kind of six, seven, eight tier two receivers that you could probably mix and match and put in any order on any given day that you feel, you know, strongly one way or the other about them. I think that that combined with the fact that he's not Chase and he's not Jefferson and he's not CeeDee Lamb at 26 years old or AJ Brown at a younger age, I think that that makes it an interesting dilemma. I don't even want to say it's a dilemma because I don't view it to be a dilemma for the team, but I think in most cases teams would be, you know, discerning. They would make sure that they felt like you're not paying for past performance. Okay, this is not what this business is about. You know, this is every year is a new year. You're trying to figure it out. You know, you're not paying for what Terry did last year. You're paying him for what he will do in the future. You know, if you're in, I would imagine years as much as dollars are a part of these conversations. Like, how comfortable are they giving him maybe 4 years tacked on to the one that he's got left? You know, I don't know. I mean, I would imagine that that's a big part of the conversation. But it's, you know, it makes it a little bit trickier when a guy is heading into his 30 and older years and probably wants top 3 to 5 money. You know, that's probably where they are right now. They're like, look, even if we viewed you as top 3 to top 5, you're not 26, you're 30. You're going to be 30. And so heading into this season. So there's got to be a little bit of give there because we can't be strapped with a massive cap hit when you're 33 years old and not the same player. This will get worked out, people. I'd be shocked if it didn't. I don't know anything, okay? I'm not telling you that I know anything. I'm just telling you that he's such a good player. He's so important to what they're trying to accomplish now and in 2026, 2027. He is the perfect locker room culture leader. You know, I don't think Terry McLaurin's the face of the franchise. There's now one face of the franchise. Okay, and that is their quarterback. Jaden Daniels has become the face of the franchise. If there isn't, you know, a face of a franchise. I mean, even the greatest teams of all time. I mean, Brady and Belichick were faces of franchise. I guess Mahomes and Reed are two faces of the Kansas City Chiefs. Right now, most people know the Washington Commanders, painful to say, because of Jaden Daniels, not Terry McLaurin. But God, he's so good, and he's such a good person and a good part of a winning formula. It'll get done. We don't need to start talking about worst look and watch all the fan goodwill evaporate in seconds. First of all, that's not true, Rob. There's no way all of this fan goodwill would evaporate in seconds if they didn't extend Terry McLaurin before the final season remaining on his contract. And Gary 01, he can't leave. He's under contract. They could trade him. He could hold out, but he can't leave. It's not like he can go sign with another team. Doesn't work that way. But no, fan goodwill evaporating in seconds? Come on, man. We just had the most incredible 4.5 months following this football team and rooting for this football team that we've had in 33 years if you're, you know, 33 or older, and the first time and the best time you've ever had for many of you in following this team. No, it would not fall apart if they didn't extend Terry. And they will. I'd bet big money that they will. I bet big money last night, Max, on Oklahoma City.
Oh, no.
-9.5 actually, to be honest with you, I bought the hook and had it at -9 I felt so good about it, too. And I watching the first half,
yeah,
I felt great about it.
You feel real good, huh?
Yeah. And by the way, they're 11.5-point favorites in game two.
Ooh.
Now, you get that occasionally, you know, in a series where the road team comes in, steals game one. There's this sense that maybe that team feels satisfied with getting the split. And in game two, they'll get run. I still think a 2-point difference tells you a lot about what the books think about what they watched last night. And even though this has been a trend for Indiana, they view it as flukish and not repeatable. Of course, Indiana's been repeating it for the entirety of this offseason. You know, a couple of numbers from last night, if you're not familiar with what happened. First of all, they were down 15 in the fourth quarter. They were down 9 with 3 minutes to go. Teams in the NBA Finals entering Game 1 last night, down by 9 or more points in the final 3 minutes of the NBA Finals since 1971, were 0-182. 0-182. The Pacers now, in this postseason, have essentially cheated death 4 times. All right? They were down 7 with 37 seconds to go against the Bucks and won. They were down 7 with 54 seconds to go against the Cavaliers and won. They were down 14 in Madison Square Garden in Game 1 with just around 3 minutes to go and won. And then last night, they were down 9 with 3 minutes to go, down 15 earlier in the quarter, and came back and won. I'm not a big fan of the win probability in-game stuff. It's just, you know, whatever. I don't follow it. I'm watching the game. I have a sense of what the win probability is. I don't need it, you know, mathematically spelled out for me. But they have, in 4 different games in this postseason, cheated death. They were done. Now, we've talked about this throughout the NBA playoffs. It is strange, but it's explainable that the NBA is much different than it was, you know, 20 years ago. 20 years ago, what currently is, you know, a 20-point lead was a 10-point lead. Yesterday's, you know, today's 20-point lead was yesterday's 10-point lead. It is not over, you know, it's not something you can't overcome. It gets overcome all the time, regular season, postseason. The reasons for it, multi. One, the three-point shot, the length of the three-point shot, and the increased, you know, effectiveness and high percentages of made three-pointers. Two, you can't stop anybody in the NBA. It's almost impossible to stop somebody. You saw one of the greatest defensive halves in NBA playoff history last night, but the Pacers still ended up scoring 111 points in the game. You just can't stop people and just completely shut them down. Last night, what Oklahoma City did in the first half, if they had played a team 20 years ago the way they played Indiana in the first half, that team would have scored 50 points in the game. Seriously, it would have been in the 50s. And then thirdly, you just have the extension of these games with so many opportunities to rest, so many timeouts, so many reviews, which just gives teams more of an opportunity to come back without being, you know, exhausted, physically exhausted and spent like perhaps they used to. Last night, Indiana became the first team to have 19 turnovers before halftime and win. It was the most turnovers before halftime since 2000 in an NBA playoff game. So we'll take a break. When we come back, I want to get into some of last night's game. If you want to weigh in, we'll open up phone lines 301-230-0980. Your thoughts on last night's amazing comeback again by the Pacers in the postseason. Anything you want to say in recapping game one, we'll open up phone lines 301-230-0980. But when we come back, before we get to your calls, I'll give you my recap of what happened. And talk about what needs to happen for Oklahoma City to get this series back on track in Game 2. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.